Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Take a listen to this comment from a guy that lives in Cleveland.
I took the dog for a walk. I was down the street. I walked away about, I was 4 minutes away when it blew up. And if I hadn't had a dog, I'd be dead.
And then listen to this.
While the losses are high, that we had fully forecasted for them, and the $32 billion we have in total reserves right now is more than enough to cover all forecasted losses.
Now, tell me what those two comments have in common. Think hard. The answer is foreclosures, connecting unlikely dots on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. I can't believe it's already Wednesday, but it is Wednesday, February 3rd. And the takeaway for me is we're in a strange place when a home exploding in Cleveland is part of our foreclosure problem.
Well, the ripple effect of foreclosures throughout urban neighborhoods throughout the United States is a huge economic story. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit later. But let's get right to the top stories. Toyota's winter of discontent continues. Its sales dropped 16% last month. Now we're getting word there may be brake problems with the popular Prius hybrid. The Prius is not part of the worldwide recall, but U.S. regulators have received about 100 complaints about its brakes. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says the U.S. government had to pressure Toyota to take action over those sticking gas pedals.
Maybe they were a little safety deaf in their North American office until we went to Japan.
Also, federal regulators have launched an inquiry into whether faulty engine electronics may be behind the accelerator problems.
The housing report card is not pretty. In the past 2 years, the housing market has lost an estimated $5 trillion in value, and nearly 6 million homes have now gone into foreclosure. We're joined now by Ida Liaskovsky, a reporter for WCPN in Cleveland. Ida, the house exploded in Cleveland on Monday, and that's related to the foreclosure problem, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a lot of these foreclosed houses end up getting dumped.
And that's what happened to this one?
Right, and many of them get dumped to absentee landlords, which was the case in this house. The landlord, the owner, actually lived in California. And these absentee landlords often don't look after the houses. People come and go. These houses get looted. They fall apart. They're unkept. And usually it's just an eyesore for the community. But in this case, it actually turned out to be a huge safety hazard.
Okay. Ida Liaskovsky from WCPN Cleveland. Stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Now to Haiti. The latest on those 10 American missionaries arrested for trying to leave the country with a busload of children. Yesterday, an investigator questioned the five women in the group for hours and will meet with the five men today. And the findings will be presented to the Haitian district attorney, who will then decide whether to prosecute. The Baptist group, mostly from Idaho, say they were only trying to help orphans survive, but the head of Haiti's social welfare agency says the group enlisted a clergyman who went knocking on doors asking people if they wanted to give away their children.
Chilling words from the director of national intelligence. Dennis Blair told a Senate hearing yesterday, Al-Qaeda will almost certainly try a major attack on the U.S. in the next 3 to 6 months. In the same hearing, CIA Director Leon Panetta said the group is deploying recruits to the U.S. to carry out new attacks from within.
It's the lone wolf strategy that I think we have to pay attention to as a threat to this country.
Panetta also said the terrorists are becoming harder to detect and are moving more quickly than in the past. This comes as three U.S. soldiers were killed this morning in a bomb blast near the Pakistan-Afghan border. Also this morning, a bomb attack at the inauguration of a girls' school in Pakistan killed at least 6 people, including 3 U.S. aid workers. And here at home, our partner, the New York Times, reports AIG planning to pay out about $100 million in fresh bonuses to employees of its financial products division. Looking at the markets, futures are up. The Dow will start at 10,296, the S&P at 1,103, and the NASDAQ opens at 2,190. So you may have heard that the Super Bowl is coming this Sunday. We're going to talk later about party foods for the Super Bowl, a New Orleans-inspired menu.
And we have a musical challenge for you folks.
We are the world. We are the children.
The new version of this famous We Are the World song debuts on Haiti next week. But maybe the song needs an update. Update the lyrics of We Are the World, We Are the Children. And then what? Tell us or sing it at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it to our site, thetakeaway.org. Coming up, the foreclosure reality.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning. You know, one of the things that we like to do on The Takeaway is give you a statistic and then help you understand what it really means with a concrete example. So here's the statistic. Nearly 6 million households have been foreclosed on in the past 3 years. Here's the concrete example. A home in Cleveland exploded, not only destroying the homes, but several of the homes around it, where some city residents got a firsthand look at what it means when houses are vacant. We're joined again by Ida Liaskovsky. She's a reporter for WCPN in Cleveland. Now, Ida, there is some question about whether this was arson rather than a gas problem in the home.
Right. So Cleveland fire investigators have ruled it intentional, and they've posted signs in the neighborhood to see if anyone knows anything about arson. But we've yet to hear the final word on what was the cause of the fire or the explosion.
But regardless of what the cause is, it's still really a problem of what happens when a home is vacant and unattended.
Exactly. So the owner of this house, they actually bought this house from a couple, but they live in California. It's a company called Easy Access Funding LLC. And they've also gotten dozens of houses from, for example, the Housing and Urban Development, who dump foreclosed houses to companies like Easy Access LLC. And these absentee landlords don't generally come to check out the houses. They never see them. And these houses go unkept and untaken care of.
How much do they pay for these homes on average?
Well, on average, houses that are dumped from the major players, they get a couple $100s. For example, houses that Easy Access did buy from HUD, they went for $500.
Okay, so how is this a common problem in Cleveland? I mean, when you go to Cleveland, are there a lot of vacant homes?
Absolutely. On this street alone, a neighbor was telling me that they can see 10 houses, a dozen more houses that are sitting in the same unkept, uncared for condition. And they're absolutely forlorn, and people come and go, and they're looted and not watched over at all.
Okay, Ida Liaskovsky, reporter for WCPN Cleveland, giving us a concrete example of the foreclosure problem when it comes down to the street level. For some analysis, let's go to our next guest, Brett Berry. He's the associate broker for HomeSmart in Phoenix. Brett, you work in Arizona, obviously, but you're watching the entire national picture. And the Washington Post and some others have reported that the Federal Housing Administration, the FHA, is in trouble because the borrowers falling behind in their loans. Unfortunately, nobody from the FHA was able to join us this morning, but we spoke with FHA Commissioner David Stevens, and he had this to say.
While the numbers are high, we had forecasted for these numbers. We have reserves to pay losses based on those numbers, and there's nothing out of the ordinary that we're seeing that we didn't already expect. So it's bad. But we had anticipated it, and we've reserved for it.
What do you think? Should we be alarmed by these numbers coming out of the FHA?
Very much so. You know, we've heard these types of comments before. As a matter of fact, if we look back about a year or a year and a half ago, I think we heard similar comments as Mr. Stevens is mentioning from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. There were a lot of questions being asked to Fannie and Freddie. They were government-sponsored entities. Regarding their reserves and whether things were okay. We kept hearing and they kept telling everyone that everything was okay. And I think we know by now that things are not okay. And I think what consumers, you know, on a very simple level just need to do is just kind of look around their neighborhoods, especially in places like Phoenix, and they will see that the numbers of foreclosures is continuing to grow, and that is putting huge pressures on FHA. Real briefly, FHA basically insures loans. They don't make loans. A lot of people don't understand what FHA really does. And so what Mr. Stevens was saying is that he was alluding to their required reserves. FHA basically came into being in the mid-1930s, they have to keep a requirement of about 2% of reserves, and that requirement has been in place since 1934. And since 1934, they've never dipped below that 2% reserve until now. And they're now at 0.50% of their required reserves. That's required by law.
Okay. Now, the point, as you were saying, they don't issue loans. But what the FHA is intended to do is help people who don't have a full down payment to actually buy a home. And this is what FHA Commissioner David Stevens had to say about their mission in terms of helping hardworking families who can afford to make those payments but can't afford big down payments.
If you look at the FHA performance, low down payment loans work very effectively with creditworthy borrowers, borrowers with FICO scores, and proven histories of ability to pay their loans. over time.
What's your response to that, the mission of the FHA?
Well, I think that it's a very admirable mission. And, you know, folks like the National Association of Realtors, the NAR, and others, other lobbyists for the bankers' associations that are pushing these loans, you know, would love to continue to dole out loans with, you know, 3.5% down payments. The problem here, Celeste, is that the mortgage companies out there in the banks are using these loans in almost the same way as the zero-down loans of the crazy go-go days. And if you call most local brokers who do these mortgages, they love FHA loans. FHA loans used to comprise about maybe 2-3% of all loans back in 06. Right now, here in Phoenix, it's over 50% of all loans. So now what we have, Celeste, is a situation of two, really almost too big to fail. And I have one more question that I would ask Mr. Stevens there at FHA. Why is it a God-given right that everyone should get a loan with 3.5% down payment? Very admirable, but why is that a right?
He kind of answers that question. Let me give you his answer.
No, not everybody should own a home. If there's one lesson we've learned from this crisis we've come through, is that's one of the first mistakes that was made.
So that's his answer. Not everyone has a God-given right.
Well, you know what? FHA reminds me of someone that they basically got their foot on the gas full speed and their foot on the brake pedal at the same time. And that's pretty much what I see right now with FHA. They're juicing it up on one end and they're putting it on a dead stop on the other, talking about FICO scores and great quality loans. But I really don't believe what he's saying, not one bit.
Okay, we're getting some negative news from the FHA, but the news on the housing market overall, we've had kind of mixed. There's some good news there as well, so hopefully we will see some rise in housing values over the next few months. Brett Berry is an associate broker for HomeSmart in Phoenix. Just a note, you can see pictures of the foreclosed house that exploded in Cleveland on our website, thanks to Ida Liaskovsky of WCPN. Just stop by thetakeaway.org. Now let's check in on the news headlines at 15 minutes past the hour.
The U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says his department had to pressure Toyota to take that action on faulty gas pedals we've been reporting all week. Now LaHood says his department will check up on other automakers.
Given what's happened to Toyota, our people are going to, you know, look at that and consider it and talk to car manufacturers about that. It would just be the common sense thing to do.
Federal regulators are looking into whether engine electronics caused vehicles to accelerate unexpectedly as experts cast doubt on Toyota's explanation for the runaway cars. Moving abroad in a major shift in Iranian policy, the country says it's ready to send its uranium abroad for further enrichment. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says Iran will have no problem giving the West its low-enriched uranium and taking it back a few months later when it's enriched by 20%. That's a turnaround from a few months ago.
Back at home in an Illinois primary yesterday, voters choose who will battle over President Obama's Senate seat. Democrat Alexei Janulis will run against Republican Mark Kirk. Republicans have targeted that Senate seat since former Governor Rod Blagojevich was arrested for trying to sell it. And in Washington, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mike Mullen says it is time to repeal the military's don't ask, don't tell policy and allow gay troops to serve openly in the military. He talked about that during testimony before the Armed Services Committee yesterday. We're going to be talking more about that hearing with D.C. correspondent Todd Zwillick in just a few minutes. That's a look at some of the stories that we're watching this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.